This is Levels of Geeks Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your host of Levels of Geeks Podcast, Alex and Friends.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 28, Levels of Geeks Action Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nate from Nateflix Reviews, and that is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this is our non-franchise episode of the week. We do two a week, obviously. First episode, last you heard, number 27, was It Man 4. Now we are doing our female-led action movie month. This is the third movie in that month. We've already covered Lucy and Kill Bill Volume 1. So this one that we're covering this week is a little movie called Sucker Punch, directed by Zack Snyder. Came out 2011. So this was, I know, there's a first-time watch for you, correct?
Oh, yeah. I've never seen this one before. Okay.
Right. A super first-time watch.
Yeah, super
Alex.
Duper.
Multiple-time watch for me. Saw it at the theater. Saw it in IMAX at the theater, I remember. Anyway, before we get into our numbers, our box office numbers, our scores, our Rotten Tomatoes scores, let's give you the criteria. Oh, and of course, first, go ahead and like. Before we even tell you the criteria, go ahead and hit the like button down below. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel already. If you're not, like this video, comment, give us your score. You know, I'm always asking people to give us their scores on these movies. We got one. We got one for Lucy last week. Stephanie from All By The Popcorn, thank you for the first person who listened and gave us a score. Give us your score. We give you our criteria. That way you can score it on your own and let us know what you think of the movie. And let us know if you agree with me or Alex. For the most part, we're usually in the same ballpark, but every now and then we go totally opposite directions. And I like to know whose side are you on. So please let us know. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, please give us a review, give us a star rating, give us some comments, feedback. All is welcome. All right, let's give our criteria. We score all these movies on a 5-category criteria and then a total score. So that would be lead character, main villain, action, story, and overall. Those are our 5 criteria. Then we add up all the points and give it a total out of 25. We scored on a 5-point scoring system. Before we do that, Alex, let's go ahead and give them the box office numbers, the budget, all that good stuff. Let's see how successful this movie was critically and financially.
Yeah, all right, so here we go. Box office number for 2011. Sucker Punch, directed by Zack Snyder and written by Zack Snyder and someone else. But let's get right into it with the box office number. Domestically, it made $36,392,502.
Not good. Ooh, that ain't not good, because I know it. Yeah. I don't know the budget, but I know it's more than that. So it ain't that good.
Mm-hmm. International, $53,400,000. International.
So this was a bomb all over.
Yeah.
It was a bomb everywhere.
It looks like it's a
this
bomb.
Ain't like it, man.
Yeah.
$3 million in the U.S., $100 billion overseas. Here, both pretty low. Yeah. Pretty low.
All right. On a worldwide total of $89,792,502 on a budget of $82 million.
Okay.
He made money though. Well, if you pay off all the investors, I don't think they made any money back. Yeah, they lost
money.
They
lost money.
Yeah.
With marketing and everything. Now, the funny thing is, this was coming off of 300 and Watchmen. This was his next movie after those two. I mean, he did Dawn of the Dead, which did well, but those were the ones that really established him as a name. And so I think Warner Brothers, you know, gave him a nice little budget. He had an idea. As you said, this was one of the, I think it might be still the only movie he wrote or he was a writer on. And that could be to the detriment or the benefit, depending on how you look at it. But anyway, not a big success. Now, guess what? Critically, wait till you hear these numbers. They're fantastic. Sucker Punch. critical score on Rotten Tomatoes. 22%.
Ay, Dios mío.
Yes, 22%. And the audience said, hey, guys, we only like it a little better because it only has a 47% with audiences.
That's not bad, though.
It's almost half. It's almost 50-50, right?
Yeah, like, but if you look at all the movies that we've rated so far, I mean, this is the lowest, I believe.
Well, except Lucy also had a 47.
It did, so, right? So, yeah,
it
but
was the same.
In terms of a jump between audience and critic, I think this is the one that was like by far like 20% more higher, right?
Yeah, 25% higher. I think that might be the biggest
gap, right?
Differential upward.
Yeah.
From audience over critics.
Okay.
Yes, I think you're right. But still not great. It's still less than half the people that saw it. Now, very divisive. Before we get into this, just so you guys a little bit, this much backstory. I picked this movie. Me and Alex each picked one of the female-led action movies that we wanted to cover. Yeah. I picked this one. Alex had never seen it. It's divisive. It's definitely divisive. As you could see by the score of the audience, it's about 50-50. Critics hated it. It didn't make money. So I was very interested to cover this one because I know he hadn't seen it. So yes, we're going to start with the lead character, and I'm going to let you go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, so we got the lead character. Her name is Baby Doll. They all have like these weird names. Now, all right. So, that's storyline. So I can't talk about it. We're talking about main character. So Baby Doll is the main character. And honestly, I kind of digged her character. We'll talk about storyline and all that, but I kind of digged her character. Very, very emotional, very dead face, like no charisma. She was a very like a dead, like a doll. Like basically that's what they call their doll. She's like a doll. She has no emotions. There's shown none. I mean, maybe in a few scenes, but she's just pretty flat across the board. Mm-hmm. With that said, I give it a 4. Thought she was great. Yeah, I thought she was really great. Yeah, I was into it. I was into her, the character.
Yeah.
Baby Doll. Yeah. But I would like to say one girl though. Sweet Pea. Which is played by Abby Cornish. Yo, she is gorgeous.
Abby Cornish. You might remember her from
Jack Ryan, the TV show.
RoboCop. Yeah.
RoboCop. Yes, she was in the, like I said, Jack Ryan TV show. There was another movie I saw her in. Oh, Geostorm with Gerard Butler. She's gorgeous.
I've always liked that. You know what, though?
Anyway, go ahead.
This is... just to cover the gamut, this movie's full of gorgeous ladies. Now, listen.
Yes, they are.
And we'll get to this. This matters. This is going to come into my overall score. But we got Emily Browning. She's the one who plays Baby Doll. Very, very cute girl. She's very tiny. I'm not very tall, so I like shorter girls personally. Okay. Perfect for me, right? Emily Browning plays her. Then you have Abby Cornish as Sweet Pea. You have Vanessa Hudgens, who is an absolute dreamboat. She's playing someone called Blondie, even though she's a brunette. Yeah. Then we have Jamie Chung as the only one with a normal name, playing Amber. She's just named Amber. Jamie Chung, very gorgeous. Carla Gugino, of course, an all-time stunner. As the she's like the Russian doctor, trainer lady or whatever. Yeah, she's amazing.
We forgot one
Jenna
more.
Malone.
Jenna Malone, Rocket. Yeah, she was good.
So you got a lot of ladies. This is a very strong female. That's why I picked it. Because it's not just one, like Baby Doll's the lead, but it's full of like women doing things in this movie. Really, they run the show. So anyway, my lead, I actually liked her a little less than you, but I do like her. I think she does pretty good so she's so small. So like I kind of like in the action scenes how she looks like she's so tiny and is going to just get wrecked, you know what I mean? But she holds her own. She's a great and I don't want to sound like a dog or nothing. She's great to look at during all the scenes. You know, she does a great job. She also sang two of the songs in the soundtrack. That opening Sweet Dreams, that was her singing.
Nice.
And there was another song she sings during it. So very talented. Good for her. But I agree with you. A little deadpan at times. A little, you know, I feel like all the other girls had a little bit more flavor to them than she did. So I kind of like, I feel like Abby Cornish could have been the lead and would have been better for me.
Yeah.
But and ultimately, we'll get to it later. But anyway, I gave her a 3. Her a 3. She's not my favorite part of this movie. I do have a lot of things I like, but she's just okay for me. Or she's good. All right, so now to villain. So now we have one Mr. Oscar Isaac. And this was prior to him really kind of blowing up.
Yes, Poe, right? Poe Dameron?
Yeah. Yep. This was before he did pre-Star Wars, a lot of buzz, getting a lot of roles. This was Oscar Isaac. I like him in this movie. I won't lie. I like him as an actor in general. And Poe is a cool character, but I actually like him in most of his other movies that he's done. He's a very good actor, very solid. I like him in this. I like him when he's the one with the skinny mustache, and we'll explain what that means later. But when she's in that certain kind of world, you know, I like him in there. There's one scene that I love with him in it where they're doing the plan and he discovers the plan and it ain't working and he blasts that girl. He shoots her, right? He shoots Jamie Chung's character, just blasts her. And then he's like, you know, he's like, he thanks the other girl. And he's like, but we hate snitches. Boom! And he blasts her too off the screen. I said, that's right, we do hate snitches. Even though you're bad, we hate snitches. But I like Oscar Isaac in this. I think he's menacing when he needs to be, you know? In that scene in particular, he's very good. Yeah, I like him 4. I'm going to give him a 4 as the human villain. Well, he's like the main human villain. There's a lot of villains that they deal with, but he's the main one.
Yeah, you know what? Oscar Isaac, let me just tell you, he's really good. He sold me in the movie. Like, I was like, holy crap. Like, he's really good. Like, very believable. Very emotional. Like, he gave you all that. Like you said, like, mm-hmm. towards the ending, that scene you talked about, very phenomenal. Very well acted out. Mm-hmm. I thought he was very good, even towards the ending, which I'm not going to talk about until we get the storyline. I thought that he was just so phenomenal in his role. Like, he was really good. I give him a 5. Nice. I mean, I gave him a 5 because he was really, really good in this role.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Yeah, I love him. All right. Action. Here we go. This is what we picked these movies for. This is an action podcast.
Right.
So please, what did you think as a first time viewer? Now, remember, I saw this in IMAX. So I tell you then, blown away. What do you think watching on your super TV with your Atmos soundbar?
So, in terms of the way I watch, so I watched this in HD because this movie's not presented in 4K. So I will I will say this though, I will be purchasing this in 4K whenever it comes out.
If it ever comes out.
If not, absolutely. I'm still going to buy it in Blu-ray anyway because I know there's an extended cut, which we will talk about in the overall. I'll talk about that. But in terms of action, I liked it. I thought the each sequence, I love that it was a different time period. If I'm saying it right. A lot of people criticize Zack Snyder directing, which I do not understand. I don't understand it. I don't know. Maybe you guys don't. And I'm not going to throw people with lump people. Okay. Cause that's wrong to do when you lump people in reviews. Like everyone. No. What I will say is it's maybe people don't understand the way the stories he's trying to tell or the way his directing is trying to shoot or try to narrate the story. Cause that's basically what he's doing. He's giving you a storybook live. Maybe the way he does it is not working for people, but in terms of this action scenes, I could see him helm, and I wrote this down, okay? Just bear with me here. I could see him helm, and you could say yes or no. A Tomb Raider movie.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
He has the chops for it. Mm-hmm. I see him directing a Suicide Squad movie.
Oh. Any superhero, any comic book property, he can, action-wise and visually, I feel like he will knock it out the park, because he did. I love Man of Steel, and Watchmen is incredible.
Yeah, and I felt when watching these action scenes, I saw a lot, and hear me now, I saw a lot of Wonder Woman 1 in these scenes. And that tells me that Zack Snyder helped Patty Jenkins with Wonder Woman fight scenes. Because there's scenes here that I was like, wait a minute, this is Wonder Woman shots. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of Wonder Woman shit. And I'm like, this look way better than Wonder Woman 84 fight scenes.
Yeah.
The CGI in this action scenes looked way better than what we saw in the DC movies. I thought her jumping looked more fluent than Wonder Woman. I'm not comparing Wonder Woman. I'm just saying in terms of, because I'm comparing them because everyone is attaching them to the DCs. And that's all I'm saying. It looked more natural when she was doing her abilities. That's what I got to say. In terms of the actions, I loved the actions across the board. I was hooked on it. I love that style of... And again, I always tell you this offline and everything. I love his comic book style of shooting. And I always said that I want him to be my Batman director for whether it's a graphic novel or whatever the hell it is, or a short movie. Give me Zack Snyder's version of a Batman movie because he knows how to do it. And in this movie, it proved with the action. I gave the action a 5 across the board.
You know what?
I liked it.
I'm glad you said that because I really picked this movie because once you said you hadn't watched it, I had a feeling you were going to, at minimum, you were going to enjoy the action scenes. Listen, This movie has some awesome action scenes. For one, they're all in a different style. The first one is Baby Doll in like ancient Japan. It looks like an anime, but yeah, like come to life, pretty much.
Like
he's fighting these gigantic, like cyborg,
dude. Yes,
Asian statue guys.
Samurais.
There's a scene where she's jumping up with the sword, and there's like fire behind her, and like it's visually just looks so cool. They have giant machine guns. They hit hard. First of all, I have this on Blu-ray. It looks amazing. You remember when we did Terminator Salvation? Yeah. This reminds me of that in the way that it's a Blu-ray, but it looks great. So if they ever did a 4K, the transfer should be good because the source is fantastic. Either way, the Blu-ray looks great. Then the second action scene is a World War II Nazi zombie like war scene in a trench. There's a giant flying machine. And all this on paper sounds pretty stupid, but when you're watching it, it's really freaking awesome. The third action scene is like medieval times, like orcs and knights and a dragon. Like it's totally different. And then the last one, which it comes at the end, but the way it's shot might be my favorite, is the one with the robots on the train.
That was nice. Yeah, that was nice.
He does that 300 thing here with the speed ramping where they're going slow and then fast. And this camera's moving like crazy. Like his camera's moving from person to person. Each one gets a little moment of like their own individual action scene. And then like when Baby Doll gets hit, then Rocket comes in, boom. And then it's her for like a minute or two. And then she gets hit. And then Sweepy comes in with the flying knee and then blasts him with the shot. Like it's awesome. I absolutely love it. And I'm going to place it here. But the music in all of these action scenes is so good. This has a great soundtrack. You get
Bjork. I was just going to say that in overall. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, bro. OK, yeah, we'll save it. So, yeah. Awesome. It fits the music fits in every scene that they put. But Zack Snyder, Count Watchmen in there as well, always has great soundtracks. So I gave it a 5. Obviously, I love the action in this movie. It's exciting. It's visually very stimulating. And there is something I will say. A lot of people's gripes with this, and I understand it. This was made 10 years ago. A lot of people feel like this movie has a very strong male gaze, right? Because you have like women, she's wearing like a short skirt and jumping around. I get it. I do get it. It doesn't bother me, but I get it. Other than that, I mean, that's the only, people who complain about stuff like that, that's the only thing I could think of to complain, because technically all the action scenes are fantastic and they look great.
But that's so stupid because the whole movie is that's the world they're in.
Right.
You know, that's.
I just remember a lot of critiques being, the male gaze and these women, they're wearing barely nothing. But that's okay. You know what? They've made movies like this remember Barbed Wire with Pamela Anderson? She was naked the whole time or in pleather. And nobody said that then because it was the 90s. I mean, sure, times change. I don't know. Whatever. I don't want to be. I love the action in this movie. 5 out of 5. Okay, story. So here's where I will be honest. The story's interesting, but it's not told well. Zack Snyder is, I think, a very, very, very good director. I don't think he's a particularly strong writer. And the writing is really one of the only, if maybe the only negative I have in this movie, because that I get. When people complain about the story, I don't argue with them. I say you're pretty much... I can see where you're coming from. I think it's interesting. It's essentially like a Russian, the Russian nesting dolls. It's essentially that, right? You have the outside, you take that off, there's a layer inside. And you take that off, and there's a layer inside. And this movie is a kind of like a reverse Russian nesting doll, if you will. Like, it keeps going in further. It's not quite like Inception, but I wouldn't be surprised if he saw Inception and had some kind of ideas, you know what I mean, of a storyline. It's also very similar to Alice in Wonderland, you know, going down that rabbit hole. Which they totally play to that. Like there's that White Rabbit, whatever Alice song in the movie. So, but it's not told extremely well. It could be confusing. He just kind of throws you in. They never really explain, what's going on. The movie start like early in the first 10 minutes, what happens at the end happens. And then it like kind of goes back in time and then shows what all led up to that. But basically this girl's in a real world. She then goes into a kind of a dream world to help her deal with the real world she's in. And within that dream world, she goes even like deeper into another dream world. If that's the best way I can explain it, it is a little confusing. I still give it a 3 because I find it interesting. I just don't think it's told as well as if a stronger writer maybe tackled it and Zack Snyder could just, you know, kind of paint over it.
You know, it's crazy, dude, that you said that, because I totally disagree with you. It is crazy.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it in a bad way. I don't want you to think it.
I'm not saying it
in a bad way. But what I'm saying is that I do understand what the whole Zack Snyder writing. A lot of people say that. Some movies, we all agree on it. It's like, wait, why did you decide to do that? But this one, I kind of enjoyed it for what it was, the writing. Sure. I love movies that are very wacky. Like, this is a wacky movie. Like, I love, like, the 12 Monkey style or you know, like that whole the Nolan movies are all like that, like Memento and shit like that. Like, it just goes all over the place. I like it, you know, like, to me, I like movies like that. Seven does that, but not, you know, to the point that you got to think if it's real or not. But I mean, we covered a movie that was like that. A Total Recall is like that. We don't know if it's real or not. This one, I understand what you're talking about, because the beginning of the movie, I'm like, which, let me just tell you, there's a lot of shots that you go, oh, my God. You could tell that Zack Snyder shot this. So you could even see Justice League shots here.
Very dark.
And I loved it. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I love the style that he shoots. I love that dark stuff. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like the way it's like a very graphic novel come to life. Like, that's what this movie reminds me of. It's like a one book graphic novel. And, you know, she does the whole thing with her sister. She kills her by mistake. And then we go right into the mental institution. You meet Oscar Isaac as character. Mm-hmm. The father wants to get their money, so he just locks her in there, pays him $2,000 to keep her in. Now,
do a lobotomy.
They do the lobotomy part.
Yeah.
That's where you're going, okay. Now, I kind of figured that we're going to go into a dream once he, you know, you already knew he was going to hit her with it. So we already know. I just didn't know, is this real or not? Because once it hits him, we're already going back in time, which was like more of the 60s. He had the ill mustache, which he looked like Gomez from Adam Family throughout
awesome.
The whole movie. Yeah, it looked great. And I liked it.
And funny you say that, because he ended up voicing him in that Adam Family cartoon.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It all comes full circle. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, like, you know, he had that character. Then you had the which I already knew we were in the dream world, because my wife saw a little bit of this movie and then she got hooked too, because she had to go to work. And she goes, all right, I got to rewatch this when I get home. But I noticed one of the workers, when she was getting dragged in, I started to piece stuff together, because Zack Snyder does this thing that he, with the camera, he focuses on stuff.
Right.
So if you notice in the beginning, the guy's playing with the lighter. And I was like, okay, the lighter's coming in. They focused on the key. Oh, we got the key now. So I was like, that's two. They focused on the map. I was like, all right. And this is all before she even led up to the chair. So I'm like, he's giving you hints, like, where we're going to be going, like you said, into the Alice Wonderland rabbit hole now. He's giving you the pieces here. It's up to you to figure it out. Like, we're going in that rabbit hole together. And I figured it out. Once they showed the mayor, I was like, oh, there you go. That's the guy flipping the thing in the beginning. And I said, all right, I agree with you. It was a little bit hard to see where we were going. But if you're like a person like me and you, where we know details of people's faces, then you will know where direction we were going with this movie. But I liked it. I don't want to drag this so long, but I enjoyed it. I gave this a 4 out of 5. I thought it was a great storyline.
Right.
That's
right
just
on.
Me.
Yeah. And it was cool. And you know what I did like as far as the story? I like Scott Glenn. Every time his character pops up and he gives them like the advice, and he says like a random quote that has nothing to do with anything. And then he always says, and one more thing, and then actually tells them something important. But I love that part. You know, I love all his little scenes. They're funny. And then he ends up being the bus driver at the end, which kind of doesn't make sense, because she never would have met him. But whatever. It's irrelevant. And also the ending for me, I don't love. I like that Sweet Pea gets out, but it just seemed kind of like it didn't match a lot of the other stuff. Like, it was such a dark movie. I guess it's nice. You know, he sends you home with like a nice, you know, hopeful kind of postcard ending. But that's okay. All right. Overall.
So overall, that's me. I really like this movie. I'm going to purchase the extended cut, because I saw the regular cut. Apple had the regular cut. It wasn't extended at all.
Okay.
So I'm going to
be extended cut.
Yeah, I'm going to get. How much more minutes do they add? Do you know?
I don't know how many minutes they add. I do know there's more stuff with John Hamm as the guy who does the lobotomy, which, by the way, if you don't know, John Hamm just randomly shows up to do a lobotomy. There's more stuff with him. He plays a little bit bigger role in the extended cut. And there's a, like a bit more story, actually. So if story's your issue, the extended cut's a little better.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to be purchasing it on Amazon. Actually, I just put it on my cart right now. So I remind myself after the show, I'll just buy it. So I liked it a lot. And it's weird. And I want to thank you because I would have never seen this if I didn't even know this came out, to be honest with you. I remember seeing it in Best Buy. But it's just one year out the other because I'm like, I ain't picking this up. I don't even know what the hell it's about. But I should have picked up the Steelbook because I think I would have enjoyed it. So I like the movie a lot. Now, in terms of the ending, this is my theory on the ending. And maybe you could agree with me. Because I know that you watched it a lot. So maybe you might go, hey, you might be onto something. I think Sweet Pea died. Because if you look at it, the bus is going towards the light. And the sign on the side says Paradise. Island.
True.
So to me, I'm thinking this, all these characters, most of them were in her mind.
Like they were all made up.
Some of them.
They were there. They were there when she showed up. Remember, they were sitting at the table.
Right.
But in the real world.
But maybe some of them did not make it because he killed them. You know what I mean? Like, I think Sweet Pea must have died because I'm like, again, it's just a theory of mine because it kind of makes sense. Like, the bus driver is the person in her dream. And the only way is that is if you die and they all linked up in her mind or she just made the shit up. Like, again, you could make it up because she's in the mental institution. She could take the people that she always sees every day and make a big story with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it could be that she took all those people and just made it up. To make her own story. But that's the thing I like about this movie is the fact that you can make your own ending. It's one of those open, like Terminator. It's just like a Total Recall. We really don't know if it's real or not. And that's the same thing with this Sucker Punch. It's just like Total Recall. Is it really, I mean, you do see that it really happened, but not the same way as in her dream world. But some characters did die. So the question is, did Sweet Pea really die? Or did she really help her escape and died along?
I like to think she got out.
Yeah, maybe she did get out and got killed along the way. And then that's where you see her getting on the bus going to the island. I mean, to Paradise Island. Again, it's really, that's something I would love to ask Zack Snyder about Sucker Punch. It's like, did you really kill Sweet Pea off? Or is this something like parrot? Like, is this all really in her mind throughout the thing? Look, other than that, look, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think this is a great film. I can't see why people are nitpicking over that. I thought it was a pretty cool movie. Honestly, I thought it was a really cool movie. Better stuff than I've seen in a long time. So, to be honest.
Hey, you're not going to get an argument from me. So this was a hard one. I also gave it a 4, by the way. It's not perfection to me. It's not a 5. But it's a movie that I have championed since I saw it. Like Terminator Salvation. It's a movie that I've always liked that I feel like everyone else doesn't like. And you know, everyone, that's always going to happen. You know, not everyone likes the same exact things, but I do know a few people who like this movie as well, but I know more people who are not really into it. I think I think for me personally, it works on a visual and audio, you know, aesthetically, it works so well on all those that I forgive. I think there are story issues, but I forgive them. Because I just enjoy like looking and listening to this movie. I love the music in this movie.
Oh,
the soundtrack is great. The score parts during the action scenes is awesome. The action is so well shot. The trench shot in the World War II parts, like Sweet Pea is such a beast in that scene where she has the gun and she shoots a dude and she's on her knee and she shoots the gun backwards like this. Like every little thing, whoever choreographed everything did a great job. I just like looking at it. I don't think it's the greatest story, but I think it's engaging enough for me that everything else overwhelms it. So all that to say, when I saw this in IMAX, I was like, oh my gosh, this is visually just, it was awesome. And I remember walking out the theater and I went with a big group. It was like maybe 12 or 13 of us. And I was like one of the only ones who liked it. I think maybe one other person liked it. And everyone else was like, eh, that was stupid. That was, I hated that or whatever. So I was like, what? Like, what, did we watch different movies? Now, 10 years later, you know, I was in my early 20s when it came out. Now, I still like it. It holds up well. I also give it a 4. So for total, for me, it comes out to a 19. But 19 out of 25. But I fully recommend, like, I love the movie. I give it an 8. You know, my overall score, 8 out of 10. I just, the lead's just okay for me. The stories could be better. It could be told better. It's interesting. But everything else is great. Oscar Isaac is awesome. The cast is very good. Mm-hmm. I like all the cast in this movie. Jenna Malone's always been a good actress. So she's actually really good as Rocket, like as the sister who's like torn in between. Sweet Pea doesn't want her to help and she wants the help. I really like her in this. Everyone else is there just for looks for the most part, but they are gorgeous. So, I mean, look, it's a win-win, right? So, I mean, for everybody, I feel like. So I love this movie. I don't get the hate. 19 out of 25 for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I gave it a 22 out of a 25. Nice. I give it a 4, 5, 5, 4, 4. So look, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really good. I thought the soundtrack was phenomenal in this movie.
Awesome.
I thought the special effects was really good, and I didn't care much with the CGI because Zack Snyder knows how to use the CGI to blend the worlds. So it doesn't look as fake. You know, it's CGI, but it just looks so well done. It looked like the nightmare scene in Batman and Superman. So it looked very well done. So I thought it was really good. I love the females were really good actresses. They all look stunning. I don't care if they were wearing shorts. Like, that's the whole point of the movie. The characters they were. I mean, and the other thing is that they're in a mental institution that is a freaking, like a strip club for these guys. Yeah. Like, that's the thing that makes
it's like
it
a
even
meat
funny.
Factory. Essentially, you know, this movie's a lot darker than it leads on. Like, her dad, first of all, her dad was about, or her stepdad or whatever, was about to like sexually abuse her little sister at the very beginning of the movie after her mom died. You know, she accidentally kills her sister. Then she goes to a place where you can clearly tell the men take advantage of the girls that are there, especially creepy old Oscar Isaac. You know, after she gets the lobotomy, his reaction, you know, is like, he's so gross. So it's got a lot of dark themes. So I agree with you. Like, it makes sense that she would picture it that way in her mind if that's how they're being treated in the regular world.
Yeah. And then, because I bet if we rewatch it again and put subtitles, I bet this, like, the way they talk to each other, they'll give hints. Second, I just got a thing here.
Yeah.
Second, the zombies look freaking amazing. The Nazi zombies. Dude, Zack Snyder knows how to shoot zombies, bro.
Forward to that next Netflix movie.
I'm definitely Army of the Dead. We're going to be covering that. But it is phenomenal, dude. Like, the makeup that they put, like, he knows what he wants with these characters. I also like a lot that when she dances, she goes right into this dream world. And I like that because I don't have to see her doing all this.
They never show her.
No.
Yeah.
Like, every time she closes her eyes,
it's like all the men are going crazy, drooling, losing their minds. And all you see is action scenes. And then when it's over, she's done. It's like, I didn't see it. And in the extended cut, guess what? You still don't see it. You're never going to know what she's doing. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. And I love when they all together. That means they all dancing together, doing some sexual stuff. And I'm like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? And I like that. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's genius. Like, that all that stuff is genius. I always think it's a genius thing. It's very unique, very different from other scripts. And that's what I think I like about the movie, you know? With that said, I gave it a 22 out of a 25. You gave it a 19 out of a 25.
Listen, I can't stress it enough. If you guys are watching this review, this is like a 19 that is actually like 25 out of 20. Like, just watch the movie. I have always liked it. It's not perfect. And I could see, you know, nitpicks. But if you enjoy action movies, this has incredible action.
Yep.
If you enjoy visually stimulating movies, this is very visually stimulating. It looks great on Blu-ray. I must have a 4K. The blacks would look great with the HDR. I mean, come on, Warner Brothers, give us a 4K, please. I know it didn't make a ton, but I would still like a 4K. So yes, that is the that pretty much wraps it up. So just a heads up for what's coming down the pipe. Next week, we are starting our next franchise, which will be John Wick. Only a 3-movie franchise, so we'll be in and out of there pretty quick. John Wick, and then our final female-led action movie. Our episode 30. Look at that. It'll be number 30. Atomic Blonde, directed by David Leitch, who co-directed the first John Wick. So it's a David Leitch double feature, John Wick, Atomic Blonde. That's what we'll be covering next week, so keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, so again, if you want to follow us on any of our social media platforms, follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. If you want to check out his podcast that he does with his friends, please head over to Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, NateFlix Movie Reviews. Those are his, that's the name of his podcast. If you want to follow us on Levels of Geeks, that's Levels of Geeks across all social media platforms, Switch, when we're gaming, Twitter, Instagram and YouTube. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, please hit that like button, hit those notification bells, so every time we're live Monday, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or drops all our review drops on Thursdays and Saturdays, and then of course Fridays are 4K disc reviews, you guys will be notified. Until then, I'm your host Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nate Flix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.